Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The second week kicks off here in Tennis Paradise. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day at the BNP Paribas Open. Beautiful scenes. The last spots in the Sweet 16 on the line as the tennis version of March Madness continues in the desert. Lots to discuss today. The future is now as Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner head into week two with all signs pointing to a Saturday showdown in the semifinals. Plus, adding a husband and two children during her three-year hiatus is proving to be a successful formula for 2011 champ Caroline Wozniacki. We are keeping up with the Kardashian. Sepp Korda explains how the circle of life influences his career in today's tennis story. And Roger Federer is California dreaming. After spending the weekend in San Francisco and Los Angeles, will the five-time Indian Wells champ make an appearance out here in the desert? Oscar worthy. Let's look at our featured matches on this Monday. We've got some good ones. The top-ranked American Coco Gauff kicks it off in Stadium 1. Aryna Sabalenka in a battle against Emma Raducanu. Former champ Naomi Osaka in action once again. We've got the world number one, Novak Djokovic, headlining the night session. And then Alina Svitolina and Emma Navarro. A lot to be excited about. Holger Rune making his desert debut this year today. Didn't play at all in the first week. How about that? Had a bye and then a walkover when Milos Raonic withdrew, facing Lorenzo Musetti later today. And we mentioned Coco Gauff is playing. Still a teenager for a couple more days. Would love to celebrate her birthday here in the desert. The first task at hand, defeat Lucia Bronzetti. As always, you can find us inside Stadium 1. Behind those glass walls. Give us a wave, say hello. It's the BMW desk. Steve Weissman back alongside Coco Vandeweghe. Prakash Amitraj, welcome back to TC Live, Coco.
Thank you. I felt very vacant not showing up here early in the morning. I didn't know what to do with myself. I needed the Prakash, like, motivation to get in the gym. I saw you lifting late last night.
It's a leg day. It was a leg day
I saw it. I was ready to put up some bars with you. I would have done it. You just needed to give me the invite.
You know, John was here. You know, John filled in a little bit. But, you know, we missed you, Co.
No, I love how you did John dirty, though. I mean, you put him down way low. You know, you got to get
been,
the
guy
new
guy.
Guy
would have been up here. He would have been on the screen.
Listen, everybody's got to be at the same level. Same thing for you, by the way. You would be taller than both of us. So.
Listen, I throw on the heels, and listen, it gets 4 inches, five. We just don't know on the day.
Were you okay, though, without us for a couple days?
You know, Chanda does do a great job at just filling your guys' positions with me. And, I mean, Chanda and I, nothing but love. But today...
Chanda's the best. You got Haber today.
I do have Haber today, so he better be ready and on his game, because I always got to haze, you know, the new person with me. And I have not done anything with Haber, so we'll see. How he does.
Just one warning. One warning.
Okay.
When I bring my meal prep in the commentary booth to eat, one time I looked around and it was gone.
Haber just
jacked it from me. So watch your ground turkey.
Okay.
You know, in the booth. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get it going. We've got the returning champ. Carlos Alcaraz was in action yesterday. Last year was a big deal for him. Did not drop a set on his way to raising that 40-pound. I mean, you could do squats with that, Prakash. I mean, it's a heavy, heavy lifting trophy here in the desert. Got him back to number one in the world. He did drop his first set of the tournament this year, but has been finding top form since. Taking on Felix Auger-Aliassime yesterday. The Canadian, three wins against Alcaraz coming in. But Carlitos took that last matchup here last year.
Clinical display in how to hit a forehand. You see a rifle cross court there, finishing over the sideline. This time moves around this beautifully with his footwork inside out over that sideline. Uses the angles, the spin, everything so well. This time setting it up with a massive kicker. Pummeling inside in. Massive targets. When you hit the ball so big, you can afford to have those massive targets. So he keeps things nice and simple for himself. Even though he has so many options out there. Takes that first set 6-2. Big stat for me. He held Felix, a giant server, to 54% points won on his first serve. 47 on his second serve. That's how well Carlos returned serve. And, of course, he took care of his serve nicely. Moving around well. Utilizing the drop shot. and just a little bit too much pressure, even with the defense here coughing up another error. Strong day at the office.
Alcaraz said it was almost a perfect match for him. Guess what? He gets a rematch with Fabian Marajan next. A little revenge on the mind for Carlitos. How about Jannik Sinner, hoping to keep pace and stay undefeated this season, Coco? No issues against Jan-Lennard Struff.
No, he really didn't. 6-3, 6-4 in this match, and it was just such a clean match from Sinner. At this point, we can't even find any holes in his game. And now he's throwing in a little flair, that Ollie Murat Safin jumping backhand. But once Sinner is just dictating off of his first serve and really just cleaning up afterwards, first serve, first ball, as you're going to see here, just a clean ace, you just really feel suffocated that you can't make any inroads. And then that just continues to put pressure on your service game. Struff is a solid server, very big server, and likes to do the same thing, dictate off the serve and then forehand. But he really couldn't find any avenues to implement his game on Sinner. And this is just becoming the norm right now from Jannik Sinner.
How about this nugget? Sinner won a higher percentage of second serve points than Struff did first serve points. That's sick nasty. Now 14-0 this year, caught up with Andrew Krasny after.
You were playing against it for the first time, and you just seem to be able to block out all the noise.
It seems, but I think we prepared it really well, you know, trying to know a little bit his moves a little bit before, but still I played well today. I served well under pressure, and also the return games, I felt that I was returning quite good. He's an incredible net player also, so it's tough to pass him, but overall I can be really happy.
Tennis is in a good place with these two youngsters. They bring it on the court. They are humble champions off the court as well. Who has looked better to you thus far in the tournament, Prakash?
It's hard to say. Carlos is one of those guys, even though he hasn't had a ton of momentum coming in, didn't get as many matches as he wanted in South America, had an earlier loss than expected for his level in Australia. He's all of a sudden in two matches sort of just jumped up to his regular level. That match against Felix and those second two sets against Arnaldi, I love the way he's playing. I think it's going to be good for him to continue to build towards that possible semifinal against Sinner. But overall, I mean, it's not just his tournament. It's just how Sinner has looked over the entire year. He's been exceptional all the way through, and he should be at the highest possible confidence level. So as far as this tournament right now, I think they're both playing fantastic tennis, but you probably have to give the edge to Sinner as far as momentum working towards that head-to-head against each other.
No, I couldn't agree more that Sinner definitely has the edge. He's the Grand Slam champion as of this year. And it's been difficult for Alcaraz to really find his game, especially early on. He comes out of here and really has to defend his title. But what I want to see, what's the dog factor between these two? This is going to be an epic rivalry for the ages right now. And we're seeing the early stages of that. And I think that Alcaraz is not going to like that Sinner's getting all the attention right now. He's being talked about as next great, where Alcaraz was talked about that so early and so often. So it's really going to put a chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to be motivated that when and if they both reach the semifinal to really give Sinner a run for his money.
Yeah, listen, I mean,
You did.
They both got the dog in them. I think both at a max level, but Sinner definitely upped it when he came back from two sets to love down against Medvedev in the final of Australia. That put him, at the exact same level as Alcaraz.
We could be running with the Wolves come that semifinal Saturday. Looking forward to that one.
That's that next level, dog to Wolves.
Next level. Speaking of dogs out there, everywhere he go, it's a light show. Ben Shelton in action. Night session. This was the match of the night against Francisco Cerúndolo. Both guys, Prakash, brought their top level.
A very high-quality affair all around. Barely any breaks of serve. Cerúndolo actually only got broken once all the way through. He was brilliant. 9-9 for 10 break point save. But you saw there, right there, that was a little bit of the difference here on those big points. It was Shelton that was actually able to step up with that backhand. He found some big ones cross-court, found some big ones down the line. He thought it was a duel match out there with that energy. Got the crowd involved, which is brilliant for him. We saw a lot of serve and volley from him all the way through. Didn't work all the time, but the fact that he kept throwing that in, I think it adds an element of fear in the opponent. You're not sure whether you should step up, whether you should step back. Cerúndolo coming back, taking that second set. But again, in the crucial moments of the third set breaker, Shelton finding a big backhand up the line. He's driving through it nicely with the right hand there. Another serve and volley action there. You didn't see that kind of volley 30 years ago. Jumping one-legged inside out, topspin forehand. But that serve and volley, I love seeing him. Papa Shelton would be proud.
Ben said, I heard the curfew was early here in Palm Springs, but you guys showed out tonight. That was a special matchup, and guess what? Big Ben, showdown with Yannick Sinner next. That is one to keep your eyes on. On the women's side, Iga Swiatek looking for a little bit of revenge herself. In Australia earlier this year, the world number one was upset by Linda Noskova. But Swiatek has never lost before the fourth round in Indian Wells. Last time a number one seed won the title here, Azarenka 12 years ago. And once again, Noskova, Coco, on fire early in this match.
No, I called this match with Chanda, and Noskova was coming out strong so early and often. Iga really looked shell-shocked, almost went down a double break, and probably should have really Houdini act this whole first set. And it was Noskova that just really went away from getting the early first strike. She got into too many backhand-to-backhand exchanges with Iga, really letting Iga settle down in this first set instead of how she was really being successful in winning, which was coming in and really ripping those backhand, changing direction, getting Iga off balance. But once Iga stole that first set, and I mean stole it away from Noskova, it was just smooth sailing, and Noskova just threw too many airs. Iga coming forward, really taking the ball out of the air, and Iga getting a little coaching during the sideline, saying hit more up the middle from her coach Thomas.
Had the bagel in the match, she had Nobu for dinner after, and raised that first serve percentage 57 in the first to 68 in the second. Caroline Wozniacki facing young American Katie Vollinets. Couple wild cards, and this was a bit of a wild match, Coco.
It really was. I mean, Katie looked a little bit scared in this first set, a little bit timid, not really rising to the occasion, which is completely understandable. You're playing one of your idols, one of the people that you grew up watching, and now you're facing them on a stadium court. There's no doubt that Katie was nervous, but she settled in here, really started to take the legs from Caro. You don't see that too often, that Caro looks tired out in these matches, and it really was affecting her in that second set. She started to look really flush, but she just started a red line in this third set, just realizing that she wasn't going to be able to sustain the side-to-side longer rallies with Katie, and just said, you know what, I'm just going to take this match away from Katie. And bagel factory.
Bagel factory everywhere. Listen, 10th time in the round of 16 here at Indian Wells. Here's our guy, Krasny.
You've got two kids. You're back out here showing 15,000 people how much you love tennis.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. When I started out, I didn't think I was going to have kids and then be back playing the sport that I love to play. And so, you know, to have that privilege to be out here on this amazing court in front of all you incredible fans, it's just really, really special to me.
Won this event back in 2011. Only player this millennium to make the Sweet 16 10 times. It's been pretty special to see what she has been able to do working her way through the tournament. What stood out to you, Prakash?
Well, just the way that she backed up that win after Vekic. I mean, look, after you take out a seed like that, all of a sudden the draw opens up a bit. You're playing a wild card here who's had some exceptional wins, but who's in a bit of territory she's not familiar with. And she just went out there and just became a really tough out. Vollinets had to go out and beat her. She played a great match. Lots of credit to Katie Vollinets. She can take a lot away from this, but Caro just kind of showed you that to get over the hump against Caro, you're going to have to play some exceptionally offensive tennis all the way through over the course of three sets. And I don't know how many players there are that can do that. Sure, top of the game, you can. But below that, she's going to take care of a lot of opponents that she's supposed to beat.
That's always been the situation with Caro, that she's always had a difficult time playing opponents that can hit her off the court. But what she's always been good at is being so solid and so resilient in these longer rallies. And seeing a carbon copy of her in Katie Vollinets is really just an attribute to what she can do out there, how solid she can be, how well she can dictate with her backhand side. And Caro is just getting into the early stages of this new career. She's going to get through these hard lumps, get through these difficult matches, and really just kind of find her level. But I was a little concerned with how her fitness really wasn't holding up that well. And that just shows you can't replace match toughness. As much as you spend hours and hours in the gym, on the practice court, going and replicating these situations, nerves play a huge part and how you are able to not only recover, but sustain a level throughout a match.
Yeah, she told us that. Tennis fitness, different than physical fitness, but she's working her way back. Congratulations, Katie Vollinet's great tournament. By the way, last time a wild card made the round of 16 here at Indian Wells, 2019, it was Bianca Andreescu.
Uh-oh.
She went on to win the whole thing. So, Caro, keep that in mind. A lot more to get to here on TC Live. Jasmine Paolini, Anna Kalinskaya, they played in the Dubai final a couple weeks ago. The rematch on Sunday for a spot in the fourth round. And say it ain't faux. The last 6 months, a little rough patch for Francis Tiafoe. How can he flip the script?
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Coco Prakash, Steve, back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this event, and we've got you covered on T2 and Bally Sports coming up top of the hour. Leif Shiras, Paul Anacone, going to call Cam Norrie and Gael Monfils. Couple of Frenchmen in action today. Arthur Fils taking on Casper Ruud after that. And following those matches on T2, we've got the Second Serve crew bringing you at least three more hours of Tracy and Yulia Putintseva dancing, some other shenanigans. It's good stuff. What's it going to look like in the desert today? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Bob Van Dillen, and this is today's BNP Paribas Open Tennis Forecast. Nice conditions out there. Partly cloudy skies today. Temperatures climbing into the upper 70s. So, yeah, it's going to be dry and beautiful. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
DVD, we appreciate it. Good weather here in the desert when we come back. A battle of contrasting styles going head-to-head yesterday. There's a demon in the desert, and his game is heavenly. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Tennis.com is the best place to keep up with all the action from Indian Wells and year-round. Check it out to follow men's and women's tournament draws, as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and all the latest results. Download the Tennis app or visit Tennis.com today. They've got great articles as well. And each and every day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see, previewing the best matches here in the desert. Today, she's looking at Aryna Sabalenka and Emma Raducanu, Maria Sakkari, Caroline Garcia, and Seb Korda going for his third straight win against Daniil Medvedev. Back to yesterday's action, Angie Kerber has found her groove here in the desert, going for her second straight top 20 win against Veronika Kudermetova, Coco.
Yes, and this looked really like a vintage Kerber match, just refusing to miss out there, but really enjoying these forehands from Angie Kerber into the backhand of Kudermetova, just getting so many airs to take that first set. And Kudermetova trying to get back even in this match, but in trying everything and trying to rush Kerber, but Kerber was just such a brick wall, just absolutely getting so many extra balls back, trying to just keep Kudermetova from hitting winners, and she was able to do that all match long. And look at this, three in a row from Kerber from going a bagel start this season.
Pretty good stuff. Ranked 607, first player ranked outside the top 600 to go this deep at Indian Wells, has now reached at least the round of 16 in her last six trips here. And cue the goo goo gaga. We've got four mamas still alive here, and a couple of them playing third round matches today, Osaka, Svitolina. But look at the top, because Angie Kerber and Caroline Caroline Wozniacki are playing each other. The 16th meeting between the friends that date back. They met each other before they were 10 years old. It's 8-7 head-to-head for Kerber, Prakash. What do you make of this matchup we're going to see in the fourth round?
Well, it's pretty special, to not only with the history they've had, but listen, Caro sat here and said, listen, they've had these chats about this new perspective coming back as mothers, so they know each other, you know, intimately well. And to see friends out there, it's not always easy, but to see them both playing such great tennis and knowing that we are going to have one of them into the next round, it's a beautiful thing. But also taking a look at Naomi playing Mertens, I like her in that matchup. I think she's going to move forward. And that Svitolina-Navarro matchup, that's going to be probably my match to watch. I'm really excited about that one.
No, that's definitely going to be a ticket to get. I couldn't agree more. The Navarro-Svitolina, I mean, Navarro's playing so well, but Svitolina also coming into her own in this. But Caro and Kerber, I mean, I watched, I saw a throwback on Twitter today, and the Moonball Fest, before they won their Grand Slams, before they had become world number ones. Yeah. I mean, just the throwbacks that we're going to get all week, well, all day long before they play is going to be something to see. And really, just the baby faces. I mean, how can you not love that?
Yeah, yeah. I encourage you to go on Google that. Watch it on YouTube, the younger versions. But pretty cool. We're going to get one of these moms making the quarterfinals here this year at Indian Wells. Meantime, we had another rematch from just a couple weeks ago. It was Italian Jasmine Paolini took the biggest title of her life, beat Anna Kalinskaya to win Dubai. That put her in the top 15 for the first time. She is six in the race right now. It was some revenge after losing to the Russian at the Aussie Open. So they would actually meet for the third time this year. It's only March, and this was another three-setter.
What Paolini does so well is she puts Kalinskaya in so many awkward positions with that heavy forehand. When Kalinskaya can't hit through someone and get in the advantage of these rallies, she really gets impatient and throws in a lot of errors. And that was what the story was for that first set. In this second set, Kalinskaya, this is kind of her MO. She goes into just a, oh, I don't care, I'm just going to go for every shot, and really was hitting her mark. But she did that by giving her forehand a lot more margin and trying to hit through Paolini with angles instead of deep through the baseline. But Paolini really changing it up, and that's what she's done so well to get the advantage, showing her net skills there, giving Kalinskaya a lot of different looks, and really just forcing the issue out here against Kalinskaya and getting the victory.
Boom, boom, Paolini. Italian tennis having a major moment. Told us after how inspired she gets, seeing what Jannik Sinner's doing, and how he carries himself on paper. This is the biggest upset of the week. Andrei Rublev facing Yuri Lehechka for the second straight year in the desert.
From each and every part of the court, Yuri Lehechka was absolutely exceptional. You can see him attacking the net there, showing off those brilliant technical skills up at net. Forehand firing on all cylinders, going back behind Rublev there. Absolute bomb. But for me, it was the serve. Nine aces, 93% won on the first serve. I mean, that means he's barely losing a couple points there. 63% won on the second serve against a guy who's one of the best returners in the world. But the big key, stepping inside the court, moving in the entire time, able to show some brilliant hands there. Rublev, understandably frustrated out there. It's not often that he goes out in a sort of fairly comfortable match. Yeah, Lehechka, watch him. Top 20, end of the year. You heard it, Weissman.
Top 20, all right. He said he always believed in himself. You believe in him as well. Get Tsitsipas next. That'll be a big match for the Czech. Meantime, Alex de Minaur coming in on a six-match winning streak. He won Acapulco last week, going for his third straight victory against Alexander Bublik.
If I'm Alexander Bublik, the last guy I want to play is Alex de Minaur, because he's just going to make me play so many balls. And I want to play short points here. You can see Bublik trying to serve and volley, play the shorter type of points. Not maybe the best time to go for the tweener. 5-6, 15 all. Absolute massive point here. But after the first set, the wheels came off, and the underhand serve came out. Wasn't able to get it done there. Smiling, sure, I'll go down a double break. But at least he seems like he's still enjoying himself out there. But de Minaur just a little bit too solid. I mean, he held Bublik to 15% one on that second serve. Just a solid day from a big old dog.
A big old dog. I mean, underarm serve, the fastest guy on tour. That's not a smart proposition there. Demon now tied for the most wins on the ATP this season with 17, playing lights out tennis. And by the way, now 13-0 after winning the first set this year. What makes him such a good front runner, Coco?
It's just his speed. That's flat out what it is. It's so suffocating when someone can get to every ball. You always feel like I have to do more. I have to get it closer to the lines. And it just is so hard to continue to play at that high of a level. But what Dimonar has done, which I find the most impressive, is the fact that he's gone back to the drawing board, especially at the start of this year, saying to himself, I need to beef up my serve. I need to beef up my groundies. Everyone knows that I am one of the fastest out here, and I'm going to be able to keep and extend these rallies. But it's really a gut check moment when you can go and say, all right, I have to change my game and really get out of my comfort zone. And that's so big for Alex de Minaur, and it shows that he is really trying to get in these inroads, in these big tournaments of the 1,000 or Grand Slams, and give himself the best opportunity to maybe win one of these and be an outlier from all these top guys that we talk about more often than not.
Put yourself in the opponent's shoes against de Minaur, right? Exactly as you talk about, his speed makes him one of the toughest outs on the tour, and the fact that he's so mentally strong. So over the last several years, he's like, listen, I'm going to be an absolute rock out there. I'm going to win a ton of matches that way. But as you said, Coco, by adding these elements of pace and sort of aggression to it, stepping into the baseline, attacking that second serve, being able to get a little bit more juice on that serve, attacking the net a little bit more. Now, when you add this other element in addition to the being such a tough out and tracking down so many balls, it just mentally adds so much more pressure to the opponents. And I think that's another thing that's adding cumulative effects for his game.
Because Jannik Sinner has played so well, we don't talk about Alex de Minaur enough as having arguably the best season this year, because Sinner's a major champ now. He's undefeated. But de Minaur third in the race. He gets Alex Zverev next. Who do you favor in the matchup this year at this time, de Minaur Zverev?
I mean, quite honestly, you got to favor de Minaur. He's been so consistently good against these top players and rises to the occasion. He's one of those guys that quietly goes along until he needs a crowd. We've seen it in Australia where he gets the crowd behind him and really thrives in those moments. And I think against Alex Zverev, he's going to be able to neutralize Alex's big ball. He's going to be able to withstand those big punches from Alex Zverev, and it's just going to be about de Minaur. Can he take the advantage early and quick enough to get Alex in a more passive position? When Alex Zverev really plays passive, he's not as much of a front runner. And as we've seen, like you said, when de Minaur gets that first set, you can say goodnight. He's like Iga Swiatek out there. It's just open for season when he gets that first set.
Yeah, I think Alex is going to bring out a few things we haven't seen so far. I think he's going to bring out that little short slice to Zverev's forehand. Zverev doesn't like it nice and low there, where he has to hit up and de Minaur can pounce from there. But I'm going to go the other way, I think, Ko. I think these conditions actually suit Zverev really well. I think the ball kind of jumps up, gets to his zone where he can really crack at the ball. So it will be a tight match. De Minaur certainly coming in with more momentum. And as you see right there, he beats Zverev at the United Cup. But I got a feeling that Zverev might be able to pull this one out.
This could be a defining moment in the year for Alex de Minaur. If he can get past Zverev once again in these conditions, see if he can push Alcaraz, Sinner, and the rest of the boys up there at the top. We'll have more match breakdowns later on TC Live. Plus, Seb Korda and his coach have deep family ties and a trust that dates back to Korda's youth. Learn all about it next. It is our tennis story. Don't go anywhere. You're watching TC Live at Indian Wells.
I'm Sebastian Korda. I'm 23 years old, and I'm from Bradenton, Florida. Both my parents are from the Czech Republic. Having a base in Czech Republic as well is great for me, because a lot of the American players have to go there and back after the French. And, you know, I'm very comfortable playing in Europe and being here, but, you know, definitely love being in the States a lot more. Sports growing up was a really big part of our lives. My parents didn't really care what sports we would play. They just wanted us to be active. I used to do taekwondo, golf, ice hockey, tennis a couple times a week. Playing all kinds of sports, learning different things, being around different kinds of people, it kind of helps you in every single way in life. Just like in ice hockey, you can learn balance in a way. Golf, you kind of concentration for long periods of time, and just a really great job that my parents did kind of teaching us growing up, and, you know, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. Hockey was my main sport until I was about 10, 11 years old, but ultimately I chose tennis because I just fell in love with it at the US Open with my dad coaching Radek Stepanek, who coaches me now.
Hi, I'm Radek Stepanek and I'm Sebastian Korda's coach.
Radek's a huge part of not only my team, but my family as well. My dad always says that he's our adopted child into the family. My dad worked with him for, I think, over 14 years.
Peter was basically the last tennis player from our country who won a slam. I was a very young kid looking up to the top players. Obviously, Peter was one of them. Then I got to a point in my career where I was about 700 in the world. I've been working hard, I was training, practicing, gym, everything, but I was not able to win matches. And it took guts for me to call him. His very first sentence was, "I'll help you. By the time of the US Open, you will be top 7 in the world and you will play main draw." I was 711. I hold myself because I would start laughing. He says, "But it will only happen if you listen to me." So year of 2002, that was the year we started to work together, basically. And obviously I saw Sebi when he was a kid, and he was a ball kid on our court. He was always around us when we practiced. And I believe when he was around 12, 13, 14, he already started to warm me up before my practice with Pierre.
Radek was always around me and always kind of gave me advice here and there, but I had the opportunity to kind of bring him into my team last year, and it's just a lot of fun to be around with him.
It's a circle of life. His dad basically helped me to build my career, and I take it as a privilege and honor that Peter and Sebi asked me to help him develop his. This is something more than a job for me, to help Sebi.
Slowly, slowly, go where you're comfortable. One.
The tennis DNA that Peter passed to me, I knew he would pass to his kids.
Use the quad on the right leg, really extend.
For Peter, it's much easier to trust me because he knows what he gave me.
They communicate really well. That's probably the biggest key is communication in anything. They do a really good job of just getting all the information possible to me, and I just work with that.
Sebi's ball striking and smoothness on the court is really special these days. He takes the ball early, he hits the ball clean, same as his father did, and he has great hands. He's a very aggressive player. He's the one who's deciding and dictating.
Ever since I was a little kid, my ultimate dream was to win 2 Grand Slams, one more than my dad. That was my goal. It's a long road ahead of me, but I'm very determined. I'll do everything I possibly can to one day achieve it.
Trust me, he wants to go to the top, so I told him, "Sebi, your dreams are my goals."
Your dreams are my goals. This is the kind of coach you want in your corner. Take a look at Sebi's career thus far. Got that title back in 2021. 5 finals overall. Quarterfinals at the Australian Open last year. Career high of 23. Currently at 29 and rising. He's had some injuries to deal with, but certainly a guy that, if he is healthy, in my opinion, can get to top 10 in the world. What do you make of that story, Coco, and the relationship between Stepanek and Korda?
Oh, it's such a touching story. And what people don't realize is tennis is such a family aspect. And it's not just your blood family. It's you create a family. You have to travel with these coaches, these physios, these trainers week in and week out. So you have to trust them on that level. And it's so great that Sebi can find someone that he grew up idolizing and watching and seeing the training that goes into becoming a professional player, not only in just the highest of highs, but when Roddick was at his lowest at 700 in the world and taking on Sebi's dad to be like, "All right, if you just listen to me, you're going to get back up there and be main draw of US Open." But it really is a testament to the Korda family and how close they keep it to home and how comfortable they are with each other to be able to discuss tennis, discuss Sebi's game, to be able to listen to that. I mean, that's not easy to do for Sebi to always listen to his father. I know that there are plenty of tennis parents that sometimes it's easier to be parents than it is to be coach and parent. But they seem to be doing a really good job of it and really extending and delegating the different responsibilities to everyone within that team. And I think Sebi's going to have just an upward trajectory in his career and probably will get a Grand Slam or at least a good shot at it.
It's also pretty great that, look, as good of a career as Peter Korda had, he's kind of in the outside of the limelight. You know, he kind of stays in the shadows there, lets his superstar daughters do their thing, lets his superstar son do their thing. And I think that's also been great, kind of letting them walk their own path. And as far as the relationship between Stepanek and Korda, I actually really like the combination because, you know, I've played against Radek Stepanek. You know, he had these awkward strokes out there. But he was a dog out there. I mean, he didn't care. He'll check you on the changeover. He'll give you a little bump. He'll do whatever he needs. Yeah. And that, in a way, I'd actually like a little bit more of that in Sebi. Sebi is such a graceful, beautiful player out there. And I'd like to see him continue to get tougher out there. I remember a match noticeably in Wimbledon. He lost a tough five-setter to Karen Khachanov not too long ago. And, you know, his body language just started to get a little bit poorer in that fifth set. I want him to just, he's a big guy, 6'5". You know, stick that chest out, keep the shoulders back, and intimidate a little bit with that. So I think it's a good combination. Got a beautiful all-round game, every shot in the book. So keep elevating.
Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest, man.
Pump it out. You know? Pump it out.
Which, by the way, he's been able to do against Daniil Medvedev,
absolutely,
who's the next opponent. Won his last two matches against him, including Shanghai last year. First top five win, and he called it one of the biggest wins he's had in his life. So keep an eye on Sebi Korda in that match against last year's finalist, Daniil Medvedev. More to come here on TC Live. We are leading you up to the top of the hour. Women's third round action with Coco Gauff. Don't go anywhere. You're watching TC Live at Indian Wells. Welcome back. A reminder that Served with Andy Roddick is the new weekly series on T2. Watches the Hall of Famer, discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and other special guests. Tune in for a new episode premiering Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern, streaming on T2. This week's episode featuring Coco Gauff's coach, Brad Gilbert. Also, Andy Roddick's former coach, Andre Agassi's former coach, and more. Per usual at this time of the show, we focus on the Americans in action, and it was a tough day for Madison Keys. First tournament of the season, did not have enough Coco against Yulia Putintseva.
No, and just far too many errors. I mean, that's a simple routine forehand for Maddie Keys that she just really was not accelerating on. And Poots, I mean, she just is so solid. She just keeps staying in these rallies, going with her heavy topspin forehand. But what I was shocked to see from Maddie Keys, that she was wanting to stay in these backhand-to-backhand cross-court exchanges, that she wasn't trying to dictate with her forehand. And that's just a testament to the lack of matches that she has played. This is only her second match of the season, and really just showed the rust of not having played all year.
Some good vibes for Poots there. I mean, she was dancing during changeovers, dancing after the match. We'll try to get her first win against Iga Świątek in the next round. Well, this was supposed to be the popcorn match of the day. It never really popped, Prakash. Stefano Tsitsipas taking care of Francis Tiafoe.
No, it didn't. It didn't seem like Francis seemed to get into a great rhythm out there, trying to attack, do his thing. But Steph just seemed a little bit too strong and was ready for everything that Francis brought out there. Steph was generally the one dictating with that big forehand there, a little bit too much pace. Francis not able to control it in. And Francis, who normally does a very good job taking care of his serve, struggled on it, only able to win 57% of his first serve points, 45% on his second serve. Little cat and mouse here, which is usually Francis's forte, but an impressive forehand on the run there from Stefano. Even finding a way to be able to celebrate and enjoy himself out there. I think that's actually great for Steph. Not necessarily focused on the fact that he has dropped out of the top 10. Seemed very in the moment. Was able to get it done. 11 aces didn't hurt either.
First top 20 win of the season for Stefano Tsitsipas. He actually celebrated at Nobu with Paula Badosa after the match as well. Iga was at one table. Steph and Paula were
popping
the other.
I mean, who didn't you see at Nobu, Steve? I mean, you're just rubbing it in that he got a Nobu last night and didn't invite either one of us. Let's just put
by the way,
I mean,
savage.
Yes.
By the way.
We'll just have our
kid
own.
Was in the gym. Wouldn't have come either way.
It was leg day. Leg day. Sunday night. Yeah.
Francis Tiafoe needs to find his legs, right? 7-6 on the season. Now drops out of the top 20. What would you tell him, Prakash, at this point to kind of get him back in his groove?
I think he's just got he's got to go get Gully out there. You know, he's just got to kind of forget about everything else that's going on. I mean, look, Francis is a superstar. So, you know, especially ever since that semifinals at the U.S. Open, there are a lot of different things pulling at him. You know, everyone wants a piece of him. Everyone wants to spend time with him. And I think just for a minute at least, he's just got to try to block everything out, go back to the drawing board and just focus on exactly what got him there. And it's being tough out there, being the dog out there and keeping that focus and intentionality all the way through a match, start to finish. Those little moments where he can sort of wander out a little bit mentally. He does have so many choices out there. It's tough to make the right shot selection all the time. But let it start on the practice court. Let it start with the work. And then just take it one match at a time. Slowly build that momentum. Next thing you know, a month has passed. You got 10 matches under your belt. And you're back in the habit of winning.
No, it's a habit. Everything about tennis is a habit when you become a professional and you're at the top of the game. You can't let the tennis part suffer for everything else that you're enjoying. And you definitely have to enjoy tennis. We can't knock that too much. There's a life outside of tennis that Francis definitely loves to enjoy. And he loves the experience of going to the NBA games, going to these premieres and everything like that. But I think his tennis routine is suffering from that. He is traveling way too much. He's going to and fro just to have these experiences. And it takes somebody to just tell Francis, hey, you know, we still have practices to get to. We have an accountability out here. And I think that's what's lacking in Francis right now. And I spoke to him the night before he played Stefanos, and he's just not having the joy that he once had in his tennis. And what he loves so much is the crowd, the energy, but you have to win matches and have to be a contender to get them motivated and involved in your matches. And I think Francis can turn this around. There's definitely no reason to really hit the panic button yet, but it's definitely getting close. Once you get to the clay court season in Europe and you're really struggling there, it can feel like just such a mountain to climb. And it's always tough to defend points. Let's not forget that. He's got a lot of points to defend throughout this whole year. And that pressure can start mounting each and every tournament that goes by.
I think outside of the top 20, some of that pressure comes off now for Francis Tiafoe and should expect big things from Big Foe going forward. Meantime, we had some important doubles action to get to. Former American number one Stevie Johnson announced his retirement after this tournament. So playing doubles with Tommy Paul against Wesley Kulhoff and Nikola Mektic.
Love to see such a beautiful crowd out there. I'm glad Tommy got out there with him. I'm sure Tommy, as he was coming up, saw a lot of Stevie's great matches. Rough team to play against. So Kulhoff and Mektic, about as good as it gets on a doubles court. Able to find all the angles, as you're seeing over here. Nice wheels there from the Americans. TP, one of the fastest guys on the entire tour. First set, pretty comfortable, 6-2. Americans doing a good job pushing it into a breaker here in this second set. Stevie Johnson finding a little glory in this last match. But match point down, Tommy Shanks the forehand. And that's it for a very, very beautiful and well-respected career.
Yeah, born and raised in Southern California, Stevie Johnson wanted this to be his last event. Retires with 4 titles, an Olympic medal, career high of 21 in the world, and title of greatest collegiate player to ever hold a racket. On the women's side, Coco Gauff, Jesse Pegula facing your former partner, Bethany Maddox-Sands, Coco, and Sophia Kennan.
And B doing what she does so well, causing chaos around the net. But this is such a great opportunity for all these players to get another shot out here on the court. Jess Pegula getting an early loss, but and Sonia Kennan as well, but getting another opportunity to be able to fill these courts and be at this tournament and leave with a better feeling than you did on the singles court. But what I love about all these players is how active they are at net, not afraid to take away the middle of the court. That is such a key aspect in doubles, is just really taking the middle of the court away from the baseliners.
Coco, Jesse, moving on in straight sets. And we love to see the doubles here at Indian Wells. The fans absolutely pack these outside courts. Energy is amazing. When we come back, it is our FanDuel match preview. Maria Sakkari, Caroline Garcia, 3-3 head-to-head. Who's going to take the rubber match?
This is a special Bloomberg report for Tennis Channel. Reddit reveals plans to raise nearly $750 million when it goes public and what's set to be one of the year's biggest IPOs. A LATAM flight traveling from Sydney to Auckland encountered unexpected turbulence. The airline says 10 people have been hospitalized. Bitcoin notches another record as the London Stock Exchange says it will start accepting applications for crypto exchange traded products. In New York, I'm Yahaira Jaquez for Bloomberg.
Bitcoin at 72,000 right now. Let's go! It's crazy. Take a look at what's going on. T2, Bally Sports coming up top of the hour with Leif Shiras and Paul Anacone. A couple of Frenchmen. Gael Monfils taking on Cam Norrie and Arthur Fils taking on Casper Ruud. To the moon. Time now for our FanDuel match of the day. It is the battle between Caroline Garcia and Maria Sakkari. The odds makers are going with the Greek. It's 3-3 head-to-head. Garcia won the first three. Sakkari the last three all last year. What do you think of these odds?
I can't say I agree. I can't say I agree with the odds. I think Sakkari is definitely making inroads into getting back to her winning ways, getting back into the top 10. New coach definitely puts more invigorated energy, but I think Garcia just has way too much power for Sakkari and can withstand these longer rallies, serve and get a couple free points. That's always so key against a player like Sakkari who gets so many balls back and really makes you play an extra ball. But I think that 2.5 sets, I think that might be a solid bet to take.
I don't like doing this on a Monday. I don't like getting off on the wrong foot on a Monday to start this beautiful second week in Indian Wells, but I think I'm going to have to disagree with Coco for the second time on TC Live today.
What is this?
I went with Zverev in the previous one, and I think I'm going to go with Sakkari here. Look, she's made the semifinals here before. I think Caro does better on a quicker court like Cincinnati, where she was a champion. I just think the slower conditions here are going to give Sakkari a little bit more time to withstand that power barrage that the French woman is going to bring, and I'm going with the Greek.
I'm with you.
Weissman's a tiebreaker.
Yeah,
boys club over here.
Come on. I leave for 2 days, and this is what happens. I see. Okay.
We've lost it, Coco. We've lost it.
Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. She had a bagel set. The last set. Sakkari's on fire. She joined us at the desk. We haven't seen Caro.
She wasted
yet.
It all on the first match. That's what I'm going with. We should have to come back.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
The man is 007. And Mirka as well, looking absolutely beautiful. Look at that couple. Ugh.
Get him a Vesper Martini right now, yeah. Shaken, so not good. Stirred.
So good.
Wearing your Daytona Rolex for coffee.
You know what I mean? He's got a beautiful piece on that. But I'm actually wondering if Roger was to play Bond, I wonder which generation he would have fit in. Mm. What, is he a Sean Connery Bond? Is he a Roger Moore Bond?
Brosnan.
Timothy Dalton? Pierce? I think probably the Pierce generation. Yeah. I think that would have been his.
They look similar to me.
Yeah, they got the 90s, early 2000s. That was probably his range.
Well, Pops was with who? Connery?
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore. Oh. Well, Roger Moore's fun. I could see Roger and Roger as well.
You could see Roger and Roger. A lot of banter with those two.
I like the Sean Connery. I mean, I think him and Sean Connery.
Sean Connery, GOAT. I mean, Daniel Craig, I think, is my guy.
They're all good.
So they're fantastic. I mean, phenomenal.
How can you pick a bad Bond?
Bad Bond. But you can't pick a bad Fed either. I mean, so he goes to the Oscars looking lovely with his wife. He's in San Francisco, next side of the Laver Cup 2025 with Steph Curry. Is he coming to the desert? Is he going to make an appearance here at Indian Wells?
Listen, he's chumming it up with, Steve Kerr has said that he has used tennis as an example for his players and for his team to get them into the right mindset. But I got to knock Fed in his jumper. I mean, he's looking a little tight there. Maybe the leather jacket just really kind of.
He's got a finely crafted, like tailored leather jacket. You know, it's probably just, suited him right. You can't get the full extension, the legs. So I will give him a little benefit of the doubt for that one.
Dude made the shot, so.
He did, and he did the right thing. He left on making every single one, didn't continue, the climb to see if he would miss. So that's that smart play by Roger.
Hair's looking good, too.
Roger, I mean, nothing's ever out of place with Roger Federer. Coco, we got to send you to the booth.
Yep.
Join Brent Haber.
I'm coming for you.
First match of the day, just minutes away. Coco Gauff, Lucia Bronzetti.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Welcome back as we are leading up to more third round action here in the desert. Time for our hot shot of the day from yesterday. We go back to Tiafoe Tsitsipas.
Well, it was a popcorn match, so it is fitting that we get the hot shot of the day. Both players using all ends of the court here. Stefanos dictating with his forehand, finding another short forehand. Francis tries to go for the backhand flick angle crossboard winner. Not good enough, but the wheels get it done at the end of the day. Check this out. Nice defense. A little scoop shot on the forehand. Tries to flick this backhand crossboard. Anticipates already moving in. Hooks the forehand in and around. Gives some love to the crowd.
Didn't get the win, but he got the hot shot of the day.
Got the hot shot.
Got the order of play here on day six in the desert, beginning with Coco Gauff on Stadium One. We've got last year's finalist, Aryna Sabalenka, taking on former U.S. Open champion Emma Raducanu. Naomi Osaka back in action today. Novak Djokovic under the lights, and Emma Navarro taking on Alina Svitolina. Let's talk about some of these matches, starting with Taylor Fritz and Sebastian Baez, Prakash. Sebastian Baez, 10 matches in a row that he's won, a couple of titles. But let's check out the score lines against Taylor Fritz. 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 6-2, 6-1, 6-4. He has barely gotten games off of Fritz, but comes in with confidence. What do you think?
I remember those matches. Look, this is just a bad matchup for Sebastian Baez. I mean, all his balls kind of go right into the pocket of Taylor. I think height-wise, too, it just kind of works into Taylor's advantage. Taylor serves bigger. Taylor's just got more weight of shot. So those score lines that you're seeing, especially on a court like this, I think we can adjust it a little bit because Baez is coming in with a ton of confidence, but I'm still expecting a straight set affair. Taylor looked really good in that first round. Not easy to do in your first match in a place like this where you want to do so well. But former champ, getting it done.
California dreaming. We love the fact that the schedule works out. We got the top-ranked American man and top-ranked American woman in action on the same day. And that means Coco Gauff stepping out onto Stadium One, checking the TikTok real quick. How many more likes I got there for the latest one? Don't call me a model if you ain't been in Vogue. That girl's been in Vogue. On the cover. When we come back, Coco Gauff in action. Brett Haber, Coco Vandeweghe on the call. Thank you so much for watching TC Live. We'll be here at the desk all day long with updates and interviews from your favorite players.